Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. Our God is awesome. He's worthy. He's glorious. He's amazing. He deserves all the glory and all the praise. I trust that you are doing well, you and your loved ones, and that you are enjoying the goodness of the Lord in this season. Whew, what a mighty God we serve. We're so excited about everything that the Lord is doing. He's just so gracious, so kind, so faithful, so merciful. Our hearts are full. And really, I would say to overflowing, just thinking about the goodness of our Heavenly Father. Well, you are the blessed of the Lord. It's a privilege to get together with you and other saints around the Word of God tonight. And I am excited to dive right in. I'm trusting God to finish early. Praise God. Last week was probably the first time that we were able to finish a little earlier than I had projected. And tonight I want to finish even earlier. Trust God for a much shorter service. So let's bow our heads together. Let's share a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much. Oh, hallelujah. What a glorious blessing it is to know you, to be called to serve you. Hallelujah. You are such an amazing Father. We thank you. I thank you tonight for this glorious opportunity that you've given to all of us, all of your children, to come together around your word. I receive grace and mercy. Lord, we open up our hearts. I ask that the Holy Spirit himself will breathe upon us, that he will minister life to us tonight. Open up our understanding. Grant us great grace and illumination. We trust you for it, Lord. I thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Glory to God. Thank you so much again. Whatever platform you are joining us on, wherever you are joining us around the world, glory to God. There is no distance in the spirit. The presence of God is right here with us in this studio. It's right there with you wherever you are. Amen. Your car, on your bed, in the hospital room, wherever you are, at work, in the kitchen, living room, wherever, bedroom, God's presence is right there. So let's get all that the Lord has prepared for us tonight. We have been studying together. We've been at this now for about 3 months. Glory to God. Elevate your mind. Renovate your mind. Elevate your life. When you renovate your mind and align your thinking to God's thinking, your entire life becomes elevated. I'm sure you are experiencing some elevation as I am, as we are. Because whenever we commit very strongly and become very diligent with the process of renovating our minds, something happens in our lives. Glory to God. We renovate our mind. We begin to align our minds and our thinking with God, with God's thinking, with God's mind. Something glorious and something supernatural happens. Amen. That cannot be measured. That cannot be measured naturally. You just know something good is happening to you. I believe something good is happening to you. I believe something good is happening to us as we continue on this journey of renovating our minds. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 55. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 55 from verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. When we begin to think like God, when we renovate our mind like we have been doing this last 3 months, and we begin to align our thinking to line up with God's thoughts, God's words, then we will know a higher level of life. We will know a higher level of experience of the life and the blessings of God. Suddenly, life will take on a different meaning. There will be a separation from who we used to be, how we used to think, the things we used to say, the ways we used to act. We will not be perfect, but we'll be well on our way to becoming like our Father. Amen. We'll be well on our way to becoming like our Savior. So he says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. That's not because he wants us to remain the way we have been. No, but he wants us to align with his thinking. Let's go to that powerful scripture in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Hallelujah. I heard on Sunday to fit out, not fit in. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it very much. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't fit in. Don't align yourself with the world. But be transformed, radically changed by the renewing of your mind, the renovating of your mind, so that you can experience the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. You know, he's talking a lot about our thinking. When you talk about renovating your mind, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, like we are told in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22, 23, 24. Like it says here, it will be renewed in your mind. If you look at verse 3, it says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So renovating our minds deals very strongly and very directly with the way we think. Because the way we think will eventually translate into the way we act, the way we speak. Glory to God. Our habits, our character, and of course our destiny. Who we will become in life, what we become in life, is a product of how we think. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 verse 7, as he thinketh in his heart, in his mind, so is he. Glory to God. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23, 24. Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. Verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed. Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. There's a new man, which is created after God, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then look at the next verse, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Last week, we went through a list of six things that we must do if we want to actively renovate our mind. First of all, we must have a spirit of humility. We have studied this for several weeks. If you are new to our lessons or just joining us recently, you need to go. We've laid a lot of foundation. This is our 12th lesson. Amen. First, we have to have a spirit of humility. Without humility, we cannot adequately engage with the mind of God and be able to adequately renovate and renew our own minds radically. We need the spirit of humility. And then when we come with that meekness and we come before the Lord consistently, there are two ways in which this mind renewal, the salvation of our souls, happen. One is the washing of regeneration by the word of God, and two, by the radical transformation or the renewal or transformation by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, look at what it says here. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So this is not just a surface thing. This is the depth. It's a structural renovation. It's a structural renovation. It's a radical transformation. We've already identified. It's a glorious transformation where there will be a change. You look at where you are coming from. You look at the person you used to be, that old man, that old woman. And there is, it's not only you, but everyone around you will know there is something radically different. There's something radically different. No one can come into Christ and remain the same. You can't, not just in your behavior, but first of all, in your thinking, in the attitude of your mind. Let's read this, Ephesians 4:23 in the Amplified. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Of course, it is the Passion Translation that says it's time. Ephesians 4:23, now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you, and verse 24, to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life. Amen. But look right here. That is very interesting. When we get these six things that we must do to actively renovate our mind, the very first thing we identified is that there must be a brainwashing with the truth of the Word of God. Right? There must be a brainwashing with the mind. And I use that word brainwash deliberately. We've all heard about brainwashing in a negative sense. Sometimes in a religious sense, in an occultic sense, in a worldly sense. But there's a need for a brainwashing for us as believers through the truth of the Word of God. There must be an exchanging in different areas of our lives. This renovation of our mind does not just happen in one area of our lives. Right? There must be an exchanging of the lies that we have believed for many years. We must be willing to return, to release all of those lies and take back in return the truth of the word of God. And we have to be willing to do this in every single area of our lives. The way we believe, the way we obey the love commandment, the way we interact and have conduct our relationships, the way we think about money, the way we address situations in our families, the way we build our marriages. If you have a career, the way you approach that, the way we think about God's plan for our physical bodies, and the way we think about it and the way we talk about it, what we expect. Amen. It says renewing of the mind transcends just one or two areas. It's an active structural renovation work in every area of our lives. Look at right there in verse 25, after it talks about be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In verse 25, it says, therefore put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. No, notice the very first, one of the first things that must happen in this renovation process is we must be willing to embrace truth from the word of God. We have believed lies through our lives. Even though a lot of what we believe, we didn't know were lies. And some of them we did know. But we've just embraced them. If the world said, this is the way things are done, we just did it that way, not knowing it was a lie. And he said, that's the way it should be done. According to who? Says who? And they say, this is the way to conduct your life. This is the way to conduct relationships. This is the way to achieve success. These are the parameters that we must attain unto in order to be successful. The world told us, is that according to God? Remember, somebody used to say, grandma taught it and we bought it. Like some of the things that we grew up with in our families, that our parents believe, our grandparents believe, people that we respect highly in our families or in our schools, or people who influenced us growing up, or even people who influence us even today, the fact that they think some things and believe some things don't make those things truth. No, they don't make those things truth. Grandma taught it and we bought it. There are some things I even think, some things that my grandparents used to tell us when we were young. We took those things as gospel, but they were wrong. They were wrong. They had no bearing to the truth of the word of God. Well, in every area of our lives, if we are serious about transforming our lives, elevating our lives by renovating our minds so that we begin to align our thinking with God's thinking, our mind with God's mind, we must be willing to challenge every area of our thinking, our believing from years past, and challenge each of those things with the truth of the word of God. You have to ask yourself, when you look at, you believe this or you think a particular way, you have to ask yourself, is that from the word of God? Is that the truth of the word of God? You find yourself thinking in a particular way and you've thought like that for many years. You've got to ask, is that thinking according to the word of God? Is that thinking according to the word of God? He says there in Romans chapter 12, don't be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah, I love that expression Deacon Kermit used in that his recent message. Fit out, not in. Fit out. That's, don't be conformed. You know, in sports, very popular, powerful sports analogy. When somebody joins a new team, you know, generally the thinking is, you know, he should, you know, kind of, you know, just align himself with that team. Especially if he's a superstar, he brings a new set of skills and things or whatever. He should almost lose who he is so that he can blend with the team and become one with the team. Well, in this team that we have been a part of, the team of the world, God has called us out. He said, be ye separate from them. We are not the same that we used to be. We cannot afford to blend in with the world. Not in our thinking, not in our talking, not in our acting. We cannot, you will not be perfect, but we will all be well on our way to becoming like our Father if we do what the Word of God says. He says, don't be conformed, don't fit in to this world, but be transformed, fit out by the renewing of your mind so that you may experience what is that good, what is that acceptable, and what is that perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I love it in 2 Corinthians where the Lord told them, come out from amongst them. I know for a long time we always used to think about this just in terms of relationships, especially when people were getting married. You know, these were very popular scriptures. You know, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Yeah, it's true. It has a lot to do with relationships. But it's so much deeper than that. There are a lot of people around us that are not necessarily unsaved. They are not necessarily unbelievers. But they still think like unbelievers. They still act like unbelievers. They talk like unbelievers. They behave like unbelievers. If you put them right next to the world, you couldn't tell the difference. They blend right in. Well, if these people are members of our families, these people are in our Christian communities, church, they are brothers and sisters that we love, we can love them without fitting in to their ways. We can love them without being like them, without thinking like them, talking like them. You know, many years ago, I used to hear, you know, parents would say, this child is going to kill me. This child is going to kill me. Man, well, when we were growing up, very young children, didn't know our left from our right, didn't know the Lord. That's what we heard people saying. That's what we heard our parents saying. You see, these children are going to kill me. These children, it's like, well, the children are just so full of trouble. They are going to, they just wear me out. Yeah, I get it. But now you are a Christian, you are a child of God, you can't be thinking like that. You can't be speaking like that. I said last week the Lord was going to have me just stay away from specific examples, and I'm going to do that because that's not the will of God. It's not for, in this series of teachings, not for us to latch onto one thing or the other and run with. No. It's that generally in different areas of our lives. But I'm also not going to hinder the flow. You know, things come, some examples that, you know, as long as they don't carry us, drift us away from our general line of teaching. Yeah, sometimes we'll give those examples. But this is just something that I heard a lot growing up. Parents used to say, especially our mothers, used to say, these children are going to kill me. These children are gonna, it's like they were so full of trouble. These children are going to kill me. these children, they are going to kill me. They are going to wear me out. Well, as a Christian now, when I started having children, I mean, those words came back to my mind, but those were words that would just never come out of my mouth, ever. And they were just words that could not even find a resting place in my thinking, because that is so ungodly. I know they don't mean it in that negative way. They're going to kill me like the children really want to kill us. But we can't even afford to think it, let alone say it. We are children of God now. We are believers now. You know how sometimes people mark people, they mark other people based on where they are from, either their race or their ethnicity. We have those things growing up. People say people from this part of the country are like this, like this, like this. You must never marry from there. You must never go close to them. Ever, ever, ever. People from that part of the country, they never do well in marriage. People from this city, they don't do good with children. People from there, they don't succeed. They don't have a success mind. They don't have business thinking mind. They don't have education. They don't go to school. You know, stay away, stay away, stay away. We had all those things growing up. Well, when we came into Christ, I still heard people talking exactly the same way about God's children from different parts of the world or nations. Yeah, people from this nation think like this. People from this part of this country. People from this ethnic group. But that's ungodly thinking. We are believers now. These are God's children. We don't think that way about God's children. We don't talk that way about God's children. Who's that the ministers there, about pastors? You know, they're just trying to get, you know, some people are just trying to get your money. They're just trying to, way back when we were growing, we said, don't ever go into the ministry because you'll be poor. You'll be broke all your life. You'll never make it. You never have resources. You never have your decision. You know? And when I came into Christ, and people say exactly the same things. But where is that in the Word of God? The people who serve God in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, were the most prosperous. They had their needs met. God blessed them. God surrounded them with resources. God blessed their families. There's a covenant. When you walk in covenant with God, there's just heaven unleashing upon you. I don't care how many sacrifices you make for the kingdom of God. It comes back 100-fold. Remember one time when Peter said, Lord, who then what's going to happen to us? We have given up everything. Jesus said, no man, no one who has given up houses or families, brothers, sisters, fathers, for my sake or for the sake of the kingdom of God, they will reap 100-fold more in this life and in the world to come. That is the truth of the Word of God. But then, that's not what many people believe. Many people believe if you serve God, you've taken a vow of poverty. Right? So many people don't want to serve God. They don't want to, commit their lives to serving God. And you're taking a vow of poverty when you do that. Where is that thinking from? Where? Who created that thinking? It's Satan. It's Satan. And Satan sold it in the world. And then believers, God's children, bought into it. Notice in that scripture that we read when he talked about be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the first thing he said, put away lying. So let's just even, he's talking about we should stop lying to one another. But let's just even put it this way. Believers need to put away everything that is not truth in their thinking. Everything that does not align with the truth of the Word of God must be put away from our minds, from our thinking. When people were unsaved, they used to think, well, I'm not going to let people take advantage of me. I'm not going to let people cheat me. I'm not going to let people, I'm going to keep some things and I'm going to protect myself. And I'm going to say, love your neighbor like yourself. No, I will love, but I will not love that much. because I don't want people to take advantage of me. Because in the world, you know, people take advantage of people. It is true. But what is the truth from the Word of God regarding what we do with the love command? Is that we love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our minds, and all of our strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. We love our neighbors as we love others. We love other people. We love other people's children like we love our children. Amen. We love other people's families like we love our families. I mean, there's a lot of thinking in the, especially in the Western world, sometimes people treat their dogs better than human beings. They treat their pets, and they're believers. They treat their pets better. Why? Because, you know, we love our families and we love our pets and we love our own, you know, units. But whatever happens with other people, they are foreigners to us. It doesn't, no, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. We've got to renew our minds. We've got to stop acting like the devil wants us to act. Stop thinking. And the first step, we must be willing to accept the truth of the Word of God in every area of our lives. Whether it's in the way we believe, whether it's in the way we love, whether it's in the way we give, whether it's in the way we use our money, see our money, whether it's in the way we look at, you know, other believers, other Christians, other ministers, whether it's the way we conduct our families, our relationships, whether it's the way we pursue the things that God has given us to pursue, our goals, our dreams, whether it's the way every area of our lives. We must come out from the world and be separate. There has to be a distinction between us and the world. Let's read this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14. Look at what it says. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? What part has he that believes with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate. Come out from among them. From among who? From among the people of the world, or people who think and act like the world. Come out. There has to be a separation. In order for there to be an elevation, there's got to be a separation. There has to be a long line drawn between a believer and a spiritually minded believer and the unbelievers and the naturally carnally minded believers. Those who have not bought into the command to renovate their minds and their thinking. There's got to be a separation. There's got to be a separation. We can't keep thinking like the world thinks and expect to enjoy God's best. It's not going to happen. Look at it. He said, come out. Therefore, come out. Look at it. He said, for you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them and I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out. Come out. Be separate. When you get on this process of renovating your mind, the Lord will, you'll see a separation happening. There are some things you find yourself, you just can't think that. Not that the thought won't try to come into your mind, but you just can't accept it. You find yourself constantly saying, that's not my thought, I reject that. You find yourself constantly replacing the ungodly negative thoughts that you've had for many years. You replace them with the truth of the Word of God. I don't accept that. That's not mine. That's not mine. I don't accept that. Come out from among them, and I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. There must be a brainwashing of the truth. That's the very first thing. Brainwashing of our mind with the truth of the Word of God continually. Brainwashing of our minds. Constantly, continually. I want us to, just before I close here, dive into that and begin to talk about some truths from the Word of God, the power of the truth in the Word of God, and how that truth and how the power of that truth has the power and has the capability and the potential to radically renovate our minds. That's why everything we do with renovating our minds must begin with embracing the truth of the Word of God. Because the truth of the Word of God has the power to radically transform us. It has the power to separate us. When we embrace the truth from the Word of God, supernatural things happen in our lives. You know, as I look in the Old Testament, one of the best stories, now I'm going to read a few verses here and come back to the New Testament and read a couple of scriptures on truth before we close out tonight. One of the best stories that I found, or that I believe that the Holy Spirit brought into my consciousness regarding coming out from among them, not conforming, not blending in, but standing out. Even when it's not just unbelievers. Yeah, mostly the Lord was talking about unbelievers, and he was talking about separating ourselves. It's not telling us to act like we are holier than thou, like we are the best, like we are the only ones who know it, like we're the only ones God favors, No, that's not what the Lord is saying. But he's saying, you be the influence. Don't let them influence you and make you conform to their ways. No, you come out from among them, you be the influence. The Lord is not telling us to put our nose up in the air and start acting like we are the best in the world. We are holier than. That's not what the Lord is saying. But draw the line and you be the influence. That is, the renovation of your mind can get to a point in your life where you speak up in a crowd of people. People say, well, it's natural to worry. There'll be something wrong with you if you don't worry. I mean, every normal human being worries. You should worry. You should be afraid sometimes. Fear is something sometimes. It's natural. Fear is natural. That's a lie. That's a lie. And then you are in a place where people are glorifying worrying, and people are glorifying fear, and people are glorifying all these things that the Lord said we should not allow to have dominion over us. Fear. Remember what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7? For you have not received the spirit of fear. Right? We have been given the mind of Christ. You have not received the spirit of fear, but you have received the power of the spirit. You have received the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Amen. So, but the world does not act like that. They don't think like that. Some people even say it's a little fear is good for you. Some people even raise their children with fear. A little worry is good for you. You should worry sometimes, like you should worry how you're going to take care of things. You should worry about it. Some worry, a little worry is good from time to time. That's a lie. That's a lie. The Lord said, come out from among them. And all these negative things, this darkness that the world is in, you are light now. He said, what concord, what agreement does light have with darkness? So you be the influence. I don't care if they are unbelievers or if they are even believers who just have refused and failed to renew their thinking. God isn't telling you to be quiet. There are a lot of believers who are just quiet about everything. You wouldn't know what they believed. They just play along because they want to be nice with everybody. You know, they don't want to stand out and get in people's negative books. They don't want people to mark them and say they you know, label them and put tags on them. So what do? They keep quiet. They see all these things people doing in their families, all these things people do in their circle of relationships, church, in different, and they just keep quiet there. They know better. They know that, they know those things that people are saying, those people are, so they are not an influence. They are not an influence. If you kept those people around them for 40 years, those people will remain exactly the way they always are. Then you are missing God's will, God's best. You will not experience God's good. You may say, oh, but I don't believe that, Pastor. You know, I just don't want to offend them. No, God said, come out from among them. There is no way you come out from among them that you will not offend them. There's just no way. Because when they are saying and thinking all those things they think, and you tell them, no, that's not godly thinking. We don't think that way. We are children of God. We don't talk like that. We're children. When you do that, there is just no way. If they are not willing to align with the truth of the word of God, which is what you are building the foundation of your life upon, then if they are not willing to that, there's just no way you are going to continue to be able to flow together. It just no. The Bible says, what concord? What agreement does light have with darkness? You are going to stand out like a sore thumb. You see a lot of believers, they just stay there. They just keep quiet. They hear all these things. And you see, the people say, oh, Pastor, but it doesn't influence me because I know what I'm thinking. It will influence you eventually. The only way you will superimpose what we believe on the negativity of the world, on negative thoughts, is by speaking words. Until you speak words regarding some negative thinking and negative action, you do not change it. You cannot change it. You can't just be quiet and blending and say, I'm just trying to keep the peace. That's not peace. That's foolishness. That's not peace. To stay in an environment where there is a negative, ungodly influence, even though it's believers. Maybe in our circle of friends, family, or in places, work. You know, to not lift up our voice and say, no, the word of God doesn't say that. I don't think like that because the word of God says this, and be able to produce what the word of God says and silence the doubters and silence the negative majority. We must be not in a strifeful way, because once you say it, you see then they are arguing and they are doing it, just step away and you know, step outside. That's the separation. That's the separation right there. Because when you come up and say, well, the word of God doesn't say that, and we shouldn't be thinking like that. The truth of the word of God is that God said dash, 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 and you know it. You know it. Well, and then they want to be fighting and arguing and just, and well, then you just leave them be. That's where the separation happens. That's exactly where that separation happens. The Bible says two cannot work together unless they are agreed. And if people are committed to thinking like the world and thinking like Satan, and it's not, you have to understand, Satan is the origin of every lie that the world believes. We won't get to it tonight. I've got to close in just a few minutes here, and I say, I'm at 45 minutes. Satan is at the root of it. He's at the root of the confusion. He's at the root of the fear. He's at the root of the worry. He's at the root of it. Satan is at the root of it. So, well, they're just regular people. They don't know that. No, they don't know the difference, but Satan has fed them a lie and they have bought it. And the only responsibility you and I have in those circumstances is to speak up for the truth of the word of God and hope that somebody can receive that. And if they don't, separate. That's it. The truth of the word of God is what will set people free. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, if we don't speak up, how will they know the truth? They don't even have the opportunity to know the truth if we don't speak up. Sometimes we might need to speak up in a mild way, in a very gentle way, so we are not feeding offense. But sometimes we have to be stern and we have to be firm and let the chips fall where they may. Because it is the truth that sets the captives free. Thinking. Say, come out from among them. Come out from among them. Well, in Numbers, oh Lord, I'm going to open it up and pick it up from here next time. Numbers 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. And why has the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. See, these people have bought into a lie. There are 3 million of them. 3 million. And of the 12 spies that were sent out, the heads of the different families, 10 of them bought into a lie. Only two, Joshua and Caleb, embraced the truth of the word of God. And because they embraced the truth of the word of God, they separated themselves. They stood out like a sore thumb. You couldn't miss them. Look at it. Look at it. They didn't keep quiet and let all those people be saying those things they're saying. They didn't just keep quiet and say, let's just keep the peace. Let everybody be happy. You know, let nobody be offended. No, they didn't do that. No. Let's read this story. Verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of God, of Israel, children of Israel. Moses and Aaron were so frustrated, exasperated. They were so upset. They were so aggravated. So saddened, so distressed by what they saw and what they heard from these millions of people. But look at the next verse, verse 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they rent their clothes In fact, they were very dramatic about this. They were not just trying to be dramatic. They just used that truth. They were so persuaded by the truth and they could not stand the lie that it just stood up. They couldn't keep it in. They rent their clothes. Verse 7, and they spoke unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search is an exceeding good land. That's the truth. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bred for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. That's the truth. We're going to close tonight. It's the truth. Millions of people bought into the lie. Two people knew the truth of the word of God and refused to be silent. And they were quite dramatic about it. Well, the process of how they knew the truth and how they were so persuaded by the truth that their thinking was different, that the words they spoke were different, is the process we're going through. They didn't have the fear that people had. They didn't have the worry. They didn't have the negativity that those people had. They were so renovated in their thinking because they embraced the truth of the word of God. Well, that's the process we're on. In the truth, we will know the truth. And the truth will set us free. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We give you the glory and the praise. We bless and we magnify your holy name. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for feeding us. I speak the blessing of heaven upon everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, all of my brothers and sisters. Father, I give you the glory and the praise. Thank you for establishing us in the truth of your word. We thank you tonight, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, saints, for being a part of this service. Glory to God. We're out of time. We got to go. Amen. It's 52 minutes. But what a glorious service we had. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for the truth. Amen. I look forward to seeing you same time next week. God bless you. God bless you. Good night.